Shalom everyone and Chodesh Tov. We are right now starting the month of Kislev, also the sign of Sagittarius, or in Hebrew, Keshet. Keshet in Hebrew means the rainbow. So why the rainbow? If the flood happened in the month of Cheshvan, Scorpio, the rain lasted for 40 days, so the rain stopped on Sagittarius on the month of Kislev, and the rainbow has been shown also on this month, and that's one of the symbols of this month. And also, so that's why when we're talking about the bow, because there's a mix-up, because Sagittarius is the archer, and we're talking about the rainbow, not the archbow, but the rainbow. And this is a big difference. Although we have the non-spiritual aspect of Sagittarius to be the archer, but the spiritual aspect is the rainbow. And I'll explain how is it possible. First of all, what is, as an introduction, a lot of people are asking, what is the connection between astrology, Kabbalah, and Judaism? And the answer is very simple. You cannot understand the Hebrew calendar, the biblical calendar, without astrology. All the holidays, all the months, all the order of the months, everything is astrological. Of course, people are really kind of upset trying to get astrology and Judaism and the Torah together. Why? Because what astrology has become, something that is very, very shallow and not serious, all of this stuff that you find in newspapers, that has nothing to do with the astrology we're talking about. The astrology we are talking about is, you can find it in the book of Genesis, when we have the story of the birth of the 12 sons of Jacob. And the Zohar is teaching us that each one of these sons is basically the story of his birth, his naming, the blessings he's getting from Jacob and later on from Moses, the way he camped in the desert. It's all secrets of astrology, secrets of astrological forces that are around us and affect us, and we have to be aware of them in order to achieve the best as we can. Also, when we are, another example is the book of Numbers with the camping of the tribes. Why is it so important to describe, to tell us so many thousands of years later about which direction every tribe was camping? And that's also astrology, because as they camp in the desert, if you read the beginning of the book of Numbers, and it says that the tribes are camping with their signs, otot in Hebrew. The same word is used in the whole five books of Moses one more time, where it is being mentioned on Genesis chapter 1 on the fourth day, when the stars in the heaven are being created to be leotot, to be signs, and for holidays and for years. So the word signs, otot, appear twice, one for the signs of the zodiac and one for the 12 tribes of Israel as they camp in the desert. And how do they camp in the desert? Three to the south, three to the north, three to the east, and three to the west. And that gives us the division to four seasons. Again, we are into it. So if we want to understand how does it work, I already explained many times in other lectures about the zodiac signs, but I'll explain to the ones who did not hear it yet. The Zohar says we should not think that constellations of stars, and there are billions of them, and there are billions of galaxies, the Zohar is explaining. That's in the Parashat Truma, in Parashat Vayakel, and so on. But there's also in Parashat Yitro that it says very clearly, It's not that the stars affect us. The Creator Himself created this universe with ongoing changing forces that surround us and go through us and affect our lives constantly. Okay? If we want to understand those forces, first of all, we can look at the stars to understand the forces. How? And the Zohar explains the same way you want, if you want to see somebody's thinking, emotions, and so on, where does a person think and feel? The brain and the heart. But if you look at the person's brain or the person's heart, you see nothing. So where do you look at? You look at the person's face. And of course, the feelings, the emotions are not in the face, but they manifest through the face. And that's why in Hebrew, the word panim, face, is exactly the same letters of pnim, inside. So your face shows the inside, the same way that right now you look at the screen. The lecture is not happening on the screen, it's happening somewhere else, okay? But the screen shows what's happening somewhere else that you can't see that far, okay, or that deep. Understanding that, we understand that the stars show us, they do not affect us, okay? They show us that we live, as the physicists are saying, we live in a soup of energies. If I want to function better, the Zohar says, I need to understand the weather in that soup, which means we're talking about where these energies are flowing to, what kind of a pace, what kind of a frequency or vibration. By learning about it, and that's why we do it on Rosh Chodesh, by learning about it, we learn to tune ourselves to that frequency of this coming month, so we can adjust ourselves to the forces around us. We learn through the study of that month how to tune our minds and our hearts to that, to the forces of the that reveal themselves and give us the opportunities every month again and again and again. So here we are in the month of Kislev, Sagittarius. Okay. And what is this month about? So there are few layers when you study Kabbalah, there are few layers of getting into understanding a month. The first layer, you go into the Tetragrammaton and you look at the structure of the month within that force that we call the Tetragrammaton. The Tetragrammaton is basically an equation. It's not God. It's an equation of the way God's light appear and reveal themselves in our physical reality. Okay? And what do we have in these, in this name? We have four letters. And these four letters represent four forces. So if you know more into, you are more into Kabbalah, so you know these are the Sefirot of Chochmah. The Yud is corresponding to Chochmah. The Hey to Bina, the Vav to Zeranpin, and the last Hey to Malchut. Okay, that corresponds also to the four elements. The Chochmah is corresponding to fire, the Bina to water, the Zeranpin, the Vav, is corresponding to air, and the Hey, the last Hey, corresponding to earth. So if the biblical year is starting, the first month is in Nisan, Aries. So we know that Aries is the beginning, so that's corresponding to the letter Yud, fire, okay, Sefirat Chochmah, which is the spring. So that's the major force ruling or manifesting in the universe on these, during the period of these 3 months of the spring. Then you have the Hay, the upper Hay, Bina, that's the summer. And the third season, fall, autumn, is corresponding to the letter Vav Zeranpin, which is air. Okay, what does that mean? It means that the godly forces, which are endless, however, when they come down the Sefirot, they come down and emanate through the curtains because they cannot reveal themselves directly. They will burn us otherwise. But when they come down to manifest, they manifest through different curtains every month, every year, every month, every season, and every hour of the day. Okay, so if we want to understand what kind of forces are manifesting around us, okay, we look at the stars and we realize, okay, we are now in the month of Kislev. And this month is the third month of the third season from the beginning. What does it mean, third? Third is the element of air. And air means central color, balance. So we know that this is one of the reasons why when we look at people who are born under the influence of Sagittarius, okay, the month of Kislev, we have here double air. One air is because it is the whole season, which means all 3 months, Libra, Scorpio, and Sagittarius. And that means that all of these three zodiac signs have air in their base. And that means looking always for balance. They're really, really sensitive to imbalance and injustice. Okay. Very clever, because air means also logic. Very clever and fast thinkers. All three. Okay, that's the base. On that we have, from the three signs, we have right, left, and center. Every season, you have three signs, right, left, and center. So Libra is right, water. So we have here more compassion, more love, more sharing, and so on. Scorpio is left, fire. We have more cruelty, force, judgment, and so on. That's Scorpio. On top of their brilliance. And then comes Sagittarius, which is air upon air, which means they are very, very super fast thinkers, very much in their thinking, in their logic. They love philosophy. They love ideas. They love all the beauty of thinking and thought and stuff like this, which means it can be theology and philosophy and math and all kinds of things that they look beautiful because it's the beauty of the science of thinking. Okay, what else? They are very sensitive to imbalance because air is about finding the balance. Okay, they will go for justice. They will go for it. They will pursue it. They will look for it, for all of that justice, because the drive is looking for air. Air is balanced central color. Okay? And on top of it, they are a fire sign. You know, what we know, whoever learns a little bit of Western astrology, every sign has an element. And that's the third layer. Okay? The other two layers, I've never seen any astrologer relating to it. If you have, like, they call it a different name, but not in this way. Okay, but here it's a fire sign on the third layer. Fire means judgment. Fire means creativity. Fire means consuming, always taking, always creating, always consuming, which means taking within. And so, and when we have fire with double air, you know, what fans the fire? Air. And therefore, one thing when you know somebody who's a typical Sagittarius, and I remember again, we're talking about a typical Sagittarius, like people are born different hours of the day. So you have a rising sign. people have also past lives and all kinds of other stories in their life that affect the manifestation of their zodiac sign. But when we're talking about the prototype of a Sagittarian, we're talking about people with super fast energies. Why? One fire, double air, there's so much air fanning the fire. Whoever tried to light a fire and make a barbecue, the bigger the fan, the bigger the fire. So here we have two big fans and one big fire. And that's why Sagittarians are like very, very fast, very active, very speedy. They are everywhere all the time, running, no patience for sitting there and waiting for something, just on the go, on the go, on the go. Okay? And they have no patience for slow process, slow thinking, slow people, boring people. They just, you lose them, they move on. Okay? So that's basically on the base of what Sagittarius is about, coming from analyzing just the structure of the zodiac according to Kabbalistic terms. And Zeir Anpin, as we said, there's a lot of chesed, a lot of caring and sharing and loving and looking for, again, balance between the upper world and the lower world. And you can find it this way or another in all three zodiac signs, especially in the month of Sagittarius. As I said, that gives us one layer of the forces that create that energy that manifests as Sagittarius. Okay, now, but we look at it as a month, not just as people, because as the month is starting, and in the Hebrew calendar, the month, the zodiac sign is starting when? On the new moon of that sign. Among the Western astrologers, there is a problem. Why? Because they don't agree always about what is the first day of the big, when the sun moves into, because there's no boundaries in the sky. So how do we know when that sign is starting? Okay, is it when we astrologers decide this is the width of the constellation, the zodiac constellation? Do we take automatically the whole 360 degrees and divide them equally to 12 regions and do it artificially? That's not so clear. In the Kabbalistic astrology, that's very simple. Every Shabbat that comes before the new moon, in every synagogue around the world, the congregation declares the moment of the birth of the new moon and declares when is the date of the beginning of the month. The moment so many people around the world declares that, we learn from Jewish tradition that we have the power with our mouth to determine when is the zodiac changing. Which means, if somebody was born, let's say today is the 16th of November, which means according to the regular astrology, we're still in Scorpio, okay? Sagittarius will start at around the 21st, okay? So whoever is born today or tomorrow or the next day, they are Scorpions. According to the Kabbalistic calendar, because the last Shabbat, it was declared in every synagogue around the world by the congregation holding the Torah that the month of Kislev is starting tonight, Tuesday, November 16th. Okay, it will be the first day of the month of Kislev. From that moment on, the sun is a big projector, correct? But the satellite that controls the broadcasting is the moon. And the moon has been switched right now as we speak at sundown in Israel, in Jerusalem. As we speak, the moon switched to Sagittarius, which means the sun is still maybe broadcasting Scorpio. Okay, so whoever is born today in the next few days will have, it will be a Sagittarius, how he will have in the background some influences of Scorpio because the sun is still in Scorpio. But the soul and the real influence will be Kabbalistically of Sagittarius. Okay, now it's not the only thing that it's a combination. It's also every moment. What is the rising sign? What is the right now? Where is Mars? Where is Jupiter? Whatever in the sky. That adds up. Astrology is not very simple. It's like a huge kaleidoscope with many, many circles that are changing all the time. They have rotating different pace with different colors. And every moment you have a picture, as Rabbi Isaac Luria says, that has never, never manifested itself since the beginning of the creation. So every day, every moment, it's another opportunity that never appeared before in front of humanity. And that's how we look, that's how we should look at life. Now let's add another layer. And the other layer is, as we see in the top of the picture, we have two letters, Samech on the right and Gimel on the left. Where are these letters coming from? According to the Book of Formation, Sefer Yetzirah, that tradition relates it to Abraham the patriarch, who was a great astronomer, the greatest, and a great astrologer in ancient Sumer, okay, in the ancient Babylonia. Now, Abraham writes in his book, okay, about the fact that the world, the whole world has been created, generated through the forces of 22 building blocks. These 22 building blocks, 22 frequencies, okay? And we know, according to modern science, since 1984, that really the universe is structured of 22 building blocks that are divided into 12 original particles that are not really particles, they're vibrations, okay? Those 12 are called in 12 original particles that all matter in the universe is made of them, the quarks and the leptons, and they are divided into six and six, okay? Six plus and six minus. Abraham speaks about 12 letters that are called the simple letters, okay? They are divided into six plus, six minus, six male, six female. Each six are divided into three upper and three lower. Same thing, the quarks and the leptons, they are six and six, but they are divided into three upper and three lower. Exactly the same structure. These are called the 12 simple letters. The 12 simple letters, and in Hebrew, it's not the word letter, but it's the word ot. An ot means a sign, but ot in Hebrew also means a frequency. When you want to say a radio frequency, you use ot. When you're looking about an electric signal, you again use the word ot. So ot is a frequency and an energy signal. Okay, those 12 frequencies and signals, okay, they are the basic building blocks of the universe. Now, of course, each zodiac sign is comprised of many, many forces, but the dominant is the letter of that month as it appears in Abraham's book. And according to Abraham, the letter Samech is the letter that its frequency is the base force behind the sign of Sagittarius. Now, what does Samech mean? The Zohar speaks about it in the introduction to the Zohar. There's a whole amazing essay about the secret of the Hebrew letters and how they've been created and what each one of them, what kind of forces it represents. The letter Samech is representing Samech in Hebrew means support. And it's coming from, the Zohar brings in, Somech Noflim. It's from Psalms, Somech Noflim. The supporter of the ones who fell. Noflim, nofel, means fall. The letter Nun for nofel was the letter for Scorpio. When we arrive to the month of Sagittarius, there is some condolences in this month. It's kind of a support system for the people who were simply stepped on and crushed during the month of Scorpio. Scorpio is not an easy month, it's a boot camp. Scorpio is a scorching, like, it's a very strong boot camp. A lot of people come out of Scorpio very, very fallen, okay? Sagittarius is about the appeasement of, like, it's okay, it's not that bad. You didn't fall that much. It's going to be okay. It's like this sense of optimism and hope and the sense of, it's not that horrible what happened in the previous month. This is what Samech is about. Samech is that force in the universe that is affecting every human being, not just Scorpio, not Sagittarius. Every human being, why? Because we know that every human being has a kind of a protective psychology, protective system when terrible things happen to us. And when it's over and we fell and we are crushed, we have a kind of system of forgetfulness, denial, whatever that tells us, you know what, it was not that bad. Which means you don't think it's the end of the world. If you are, when we go through Scorpio, there are moments you think it's the end of the world. It's very easy during the month of Scorpio or for Scorpions themselves to fall into, like, this is the end, it's over. Because it's like very extreme. The emotions during the month of Scorpio are very extreme. But when we come to Sagittarius, it's mellow. Why? You have the letter Samech, which is like a sedative. See, Samech, sedative. It's kind, it gives you a support. Why? The Zohar says, if we don't have somebody who fell, somebody who made a terrible mistake, let's say he went through an amazing big challenge and they did not do the job. And you feel that feeling of, like, missing once in a lifetime opportunity. Okay? So during the month of Scorpio, it's like you feel like it's the end of the world and now there's nothing beyond that. When you come to the month of Sagittarius, you think, then again, maybe it's not that bad. It's not that bad. No, it could be okay. No, it's not too bad. That's the energy of letter Samech. Without the energy of the letter Samech, you make a mistake, you can't get up anymore. So letter Samech is very important for people because everybody makes a mistake. Sitting and dwelling on your mistakes, it's not going to help you fixing it because you have no choice, you have to fix it. We are in the Tikkun, and the Tikkun process is about, if the end is well, all is well. And if it's not the end, okay, if it's not well, it's not the end. Very simple. There will be another opportunity. This is what the letter Samech is about. There's another opportunity. It's not that bad. That allows people to get up and try all over again. Optimism, the soothing effect of the letter Samech makes this month a month that is much easier. Okay? And now we add to it the letter Gimel. Now, if Samech was Somech Nuflim, supporter of the fallen ones, Gimel is Gomel Dalim, which means giving grace to the ones who does not have, to the ones who are poor. Now, the letter of the month of Cheshvan, Scorpio, was the letter Dalet, which means the poor. And that's why the people of the month of Scorpio, Scorpions, are always hungry. Because that letter Dalet and that noon of falling, it's always, you're always hungry because it will never be enough. You always feel you have to get some more, more control, more power, more energy, more and more and more and more. You're always hungry. The letter Gimel is the letter of satiation. And it is the letter or the frequency of the planet Jupiter, Tzedek. Let's read a little bit about the planet Jupiter in order to understand the frequency of this month. Okay, so the Sefer Yetzirah is saying, Himlich Ot Gimel, the creator, gave reign and power to the letter Gimel. Kashar lo keter, gave him a crown, Vetzar bo, and formed with that letter Gimel the force which we know as the planet Jupiter. Okay? What does that mean? So the Rabbi Abraham ben David of Poskiris, some 800 years ago, okay, in Spain, he said, Vesambo koach shalom, and he gave him the force of peace. The month of Sagittarius and people who are Sagittarians, they don't like to fight. They don't like to fight. If we're talking about Scorpions, that's a letter Dalet, which is Mars. Without a fight, without a war, they can't. It's like, if there's no war, they'll initiate one. Okay? This is the opposite. This is Gimel. This is Gimel Gomendalim. We know the satiated people do not initiate war. What for? Like, rich and prosperous communities do not initiate wars. Okay? Only the ones who experience lack. Always the ones who feel they are mistreated, they don't have enough. The moment you feel that you have a lot and you play golf and you have nice dinners, why would you go for war? Are you crazy or something? Okay, shalom. And shalom is not just peace. Shalom is in Hebrew completion. The feeling that you are completed. Why? Because you're connected to the letter Gimel. And the letter Gimel, if you look at the shape, how do you write the letter Gimel? The scribe writes the letter Vav. And the letter Vav is the pipe, the vehicle to connect to the upper worlds. And then he sticks the letter Yud at the bottom. And the letter Yud means power. Yud is 10, 10 sefirot of power. So here's the Vav, brings down to this world 10 sefirot of power. The moment you have an influence of the letter Gimel, it means, wow, the world is amazing. What a wonderful world. You know the song, you know, what a wonderful world. That's totally... The energy of that song is just the letter Gimel. Everything is, what a wonderful world. That's what Sagittarius is about. This is where Jupiter is about. Mikoach ha-chesed, from the force of chesed, loving kindness. Vesigel bo al chesed ve-yosher. So the energy of this month because of Jupiter is during grace and honesty and justice, v'tzedek v'anava, and humility, u'ma'asim tovim, and good deeds, v'shem tov, and good reputation, u'va'al din shel chesed, it's always about doing what is good and what is positive. Okay? This is very important to understand, because this is the energy that is behind this month. Okay, this is the energy that is behind this month. And that means that if you know in English, there's a saying about Sagittarians, they don't have a mean bone. Why would you have a mean bone if you are having the Samech and the Gimel, this soothing energy of satiation, that even though you made a mistake, you know what? Things are going to be better. And you see people of the month of Sagittarius. I just met a lady a few days ago. And we spoke about Zodiac Sun and spoke about it. And she said, like, this is amazing. That's exactly my son. He's always trusting the good. He's always optimistic. Many times I think he's careless. He's not responsible. He says, Mom, don't be worried. It's going to be okay. And it's being okay. And I don't understand how. Always, it's like these guys are the luckiest people in the world. Sagittarius. And they know it. You know why? When you think good, and you're positive, and you love people, and you care for people, and you're always thinking positive, and you're always thinking on beautiful stuff, you just bring it in. And science is proving it, that optimistic people are right. People are optimistic, they live longer, they're healthier, they're richer, they are more lucky, and it's like this, is it? Although, pessimistic people are also right. They live shorter, they have less luck, they have more troubles, and so on. So if you decide to be positive and optimistic, you bring in positivity, and there's no optimistic like a Sagittarian. Why? If this is the kind of energy that is going through you, this is what you are. Okay, so you have good reputation. People love you because they know you're always positive. You never hate. You never get really angry. You're always positive. Ne'eman, loyal. Chochmat Torah and the wisdom of the Torah. And Sagittarius always looking for spiritual wisdom. They love the Torah because they love wisdom. They love everything that is above the mundane. They love wisdom, not just to spite. You know, some people, they're very sharp, wise, and so on, to spite you. No, for them, wisdom is something to soothe and to beautify and to make things beautiful. Okay, and also, therefore, they're very good in trade, very good traders. And they are very lucky in everything of trade, which is every business and making money and richness, because they have the money and good hope of chesed again, loving kindness, and the happiness, celebration, and of celebration. They love to celebrate and marriage. And shows about pregnancy and shows about successful children. If you think, like, you know, the Rabbat is right now, it's like he's meditating. It's like he's kind of taking us to that meditative state of this month. Okay, velo ha-shalom v'ha-shalva. He has the peace, shalom. Peace coming from the world of completion. V'shalva and serenity. V'abitachon and security from any fear. And loves with his grace and loves the loyal ones. Vishuvito, he chose about, you know, settling in a good place, in a good neighborhood, nice homes. This is the beginning of Bria. I'll explain what does it mean. And finding grace and serving the creator, the king of all kings, God. And always looking for the good side, okay? And a lot of crops, and peace of the city, and loving friends, and healing of the sick, okay? And the peace of the ones who are in jail. It's all about good luck, which means the moment the month of Sagittarius is starting, good news, good stuff is going to happen, okay? And we'll finish. ולא מן האנשים הנחמדים. ונשאי הפנים וחזנים בבתי כנסיות. It's like respect, respectful people, people that do have respect. You know, these are the kind of people that love to go to a house of prayer that is beautiful, with beautiful music, Because they it's their kind of life, law of bliss and plenty. Okay? And prayers and begging from the place of trust and faith with God. It's also about expensive. When things are expensive, it's because when people trust, right? One of the things, if you not want to know what's going to be in the market, you check people's trust in the market. It's like there's a measurement like this, okay? This month, people trust, okay? And so we're talking about good stuff. Now that I think that we got the frequency and the energy, now we can go one step above. Samech and Gimel, they're not, if you know Kabbalah, they're not just about the frequency of happiness, fulfillment, grace, doing good to others, because everything is amazing and great and fulfilled and fulfilling. Samech Gimel is also a number. It's a number, and this number is 63. Samech is 60, Gimel is 3. 3, right, left, and center. Right, left, and center means when everything is balanced, there's a flow. But when you bring the 3 together with the Samech, 60, you get 63, which is a totally different level. And what did we say? We have 4 universes that are the basic universes of our reality. Okay? We usually, we spend our thinking and our consciousness is on the 4th, the lowest of them all, which is called Olam Asiya. Olam Asiya, Malchut, has also a number. And this number is when you write the name of God, the Tetragrammaton, fulfilled. When you say Yud, it's a letter Yud, but when you say Yud, you hear Vav Dalet. So when that expanded, you have also Vav and Dalet. So when you write it, Yud, Yud Vav Dalet, Hey, Hey and Yud, Vav, Vav Aleph Vav, and Hey, Hey and Yud, together the numerical value is 63, and that's a tetragrammaton that represents the frequency of Olam Bria or Sefirat Bina. What is Sefirat Bina? What is Olam Bria? Olam Bria, for us humans, mortals that live on earth, this is not just the world of spirituality, which is Olam Yetzira. This is the world above it. That's the world where all life come from to our world. It is being, there are many ways to look at it. But that, another way is when we're talking about the 10 Sefirot, the 10 Sefirot. So the lower Sefirah is Malchut, corresponding to Olam Asiya, the world of action, the world of Tikkun, the world of correction, the world that we are part of, okay? And this world is needy, because in our world, there's not so much light. That's why we're always on the go looking for light, okay? The world above us is the world of spirituality. What does it mean? When we walk the talk and we walk the road of spirituality, of going above and beyond our physical limitations, that's when we share, when we care, when we meditate, when we raise our consciousness, when we go against the body consciousness to a higher level of grace and expanded thinking outside the box, that's the world of the spirituality. That's Olam Yetzira. Olam Yetzira, the world of formation, or Ruach, spirituality. Okay? But the world above Olam Yetzira, that's the world we want to connect to. This is Olam Beria, the world of creation. Okay? And this world is also, when we count the Sefirot, Olam Asiya is Sefirat Malchut. Olam Yetzira is the 6 Sefirot of Zeranpin. Chesed Gvura, Tiferet Netzach Hod and Yesod, which is represented by what we know as the 6 points of the Star of David. Okay, that's a scheme. But all of these 6 points belong to Olam Yetzirah. So when you want to go one higher, you go to the eighth level. Okay, one of Malchut, six of Olam Yetzirah. The next level will be the eighth one. And that's why the number eight represents the supernatural, the world beyond. And that's why the circumcision happens on the eighth day after the birth of the baby boy. That's why the number eight symbolizes so many places, going above logic and above what we can understand with our minds and logic. Okay, Olam Bria can be looked at as the eighth level from the bottom, or Olam Bria is also looked at as 63, the frequency of Yud Kei Vav Kei written as the numerical value of 63. Both is the same. Okay, so when do we have the opportunity to connect to that realm of bliss, which is called Habrecha HaElyona, the divine upper pool, the storage of life force? Okay, when do we connect to it? In the beginning of the season of the fall, we have a whole month, the month of Libra. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we connect over there in order to draw life for the whole year. At the end of the holidays, on Simchat Torah, the opening is being closed, and as much life of health, sustenance, and the energy of living we drew from above, now this is finalized for the rest of the year. However, the sages are saying there is still an opportunity till the end of Hanukkah. Why? Because that storage has a kind of another opening, like a second chance during the month of Kislev. Okay? During the month of Kislev. And that means that during this month, there's this energy that is available, that feeling of what a wonderful world. It's the energy of Bria, Olam Bria, the source of life, the upper pool that is engulfing us. We just have to pick it up. How? Similarities attract. How do we connect to that energy? Grace, sharing, and caring. It's easier to reconnect to that power and basically fulfill our batteries for the coming year. When? Especially during Hanukkah. Look at the word Hanukkah. The sages are saying, if you look at the word Hanukkah, you can find in the letters Hanukkah, Chana, okay? And one of the major stories of Hanukkah is a story about Chana and her seven sons. Just again, who has seven sons? Leah. Leah represented the Olam Bria and Binah, Sfirat Divinah, in the upper pool. Also, Leah, Jacob's wife. How many sons did she have? She had six sons and a daughter. Here we have Hannah, and Hannah, numerical value, Chet of Hannah is 8, Nun of Hannah is 50, Hey is 5, together 63. So when we have this story of Hannah and her seven sons, that all of them were willing to be burned to the stake, just not to give up their faith in the Creator and the Torah, here we have the story with devotion and excitement about, positive excitement, about spirituality and about spiritual rules, living this way, during this month, you can achieve a connection to Chana, Bina, the mother of the seven. Okay? Like Bina is sitting above seven Sefirot of Zerampin and Malchut. Okay? And okay, let's go back. Chanukah, you have the letters Chana, again, symbol for Bina. And what's left? Kafvav. Kafvav is 26. That's Zerampin, that's Olam Yetzirah. So here we have again that Chanukah, which is 8 days, again, 8 days, we reach that level of the eighth. And that's why when we have the song Ma'oz Tu Yeshua Ti, the fifth paragraph says, Bnei Bina Yemei Shmona, that the sons of Bina, the 8 days. Again, it's a hint we're connecting to Bina, which means if you feel that during the boot camp of the month of Scorpio, you realize that you didn't work enough during Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, and the Slichot, now you have another chance to regain those forces you did not achieve during the month of Libra. It's a second chance. It's like, you know, when you get the second chance to go to do an exam at the university. Okay, you can try it again. There's a connection again. So there's so much bliss in this month. So much bliss in this month. So much power and so much positive energy. And how do we connect to it? Grace, devotion, faith, and looking for real spiritual wisdom. It's easier during this month. This is why it's called the month of miracles. Why? If you take the word, the letters, as remember we said that the letter Samech, okay, remember the letter Samech is for Sagittarius. And we said it's Somech Noflim, supporting the fallen ones. Somech Noflim is also the same letters as Nes, a miracle. Okay? Now we said that Gimel is Gomel Dalim, giving grace to the poor. Gomel Dalim, Gimel Dalet is God. God in Hebrew means good luck, good fortune. So we have a month of good luck and good fortunes. We connect to this month through meditating on Samech Gimel every day to bring in the light of that month, especially when we pray the prayer and we do the meditation of the Ana Bekoach. The second line, Kabel Rinat Amecha, what you have in the bottom. Kabel Rinat Amecha Sagveinu Tarenu Noah. First letter of every word, Kuf Reish Ayin Sintet Nun. These letters are connecting us to Jupiter. And there we can meditate on the Samech Gimel. The Zohar says, when we do Kabel Rinat Amecha Sagveinu Tarenu Noah, we can open a window in the heaven. In that window, there are two additional windows. You have, because Jupiter is affecting Sagittarius and Pisces. So you have an option to open Sagittarius with the letter Samech or to open Pisces with the letter Kuf. During the month of Kislev, we do open the one with Samech. So together, Samech and Gimel, we go into that window, the Zohar says, that we can connect to the energy flow of the month of Sagittarius. Okay. Again, and also, we know, according to Tikkuni Zohar, which are 70 teachings about the creation of the universe in the Zohar, based on the word Bereshit, the first word of the Torah. Now, over there it says that there are 12 permutations, possible permutations of the tetragrammaton, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. Each one of them is another way to connect to the frequency of one of the 12 signs of the zodiac. The one that is connecting to Sagittarius, Kislev, is the Vav, Yud, He, and He, as we see in front of us. What's special about this permutation? First of all, you see that the two letters in the beginning, they are thinner. They are male letters. What is male? Male is the upper light energy force, which means in this month, the upper light is dominant and very active. That's why people of Sagittarius, they're very proactive. They're very active. They're full of energies all the time. And then follow the female letters, hey and hey, that are the recipients. They are the vessels. We just said only beautiful things about Sagittarius. So what is the tikkun of Sagittarius? The tikkun of Sagittarius that because they are so nice and because they're always surrounded with so much, with such a halo of positivity, they can become dangerously complacent. They can't say no, they're too nice. They don't need and they don't feel like putting the boundaries, telling people, no, you can't have that. Everyone who comes to them and says, please give me that. They can't say no. And then they feel, after a while, victimized. And when they feel victimized and drained, they become the archers. They start to shoot arrows, which it looks like they're tactless. It's like they say nonsense that hurt people. You know at that moment that the Sagittarius has been hurt and he has no idea how to get out of it. Look at the holiday of Hanukkah. The historical story is that the story is happening during the period of the Second Temple. After the building of the second temple, there were a few centuries of peace, prosperity. Everything was growing and going well. In the beginning, there was the Jerusalem and its surrounding, what was called at that time Judea, was under Persian rule, and the Persians were very fair, and they had no religious problems with Judaism, and they were very fair, and it was prosperous. And then Alexander the Great took place, and he also was very fair and gave autonomy to that little province that was called Judea. And whoever ran the province were the teachers and the priests. So it was kind of a theocracy that when we're talking about the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, they created a nation that every child 3 years old had to go to the cheder to study Hebrew, read and write and learn the Torah. Everyone. So if you're talking about at the same time, Athens was a place of the philosophers, how many of them were they? There were a few hundreds living on the backs of 5,000 slaves. Okay, that was Athens. There were no slaves in Judea. They were only middle class, almost only middle class. Every family had its own business, its own farm, and there were no big rich people, not very poor people. Where people poor, so the treasury of the temple supported them, and everybody had the right to study. And when it was a dry season, everybody studied, even the grown-ups. And everybody was supposed to go to the city, to the main city, on Mondays and Thursdays in order and to re-listen to the Torah. It was a nation of wisdom, not just a few hundred of them, from the bottom to the top. Okay, so there was grace, and there was prosperity, and there was peace. You know what happens when there's prosperity and peace? You come to a place of complacency, and you forget where all of this prosperity coming from. That it's all coming from the upper world. and from faith and honesty. And you start to kick the bucket that you are drinking from. Just think about our generation. Not long ago, 75 years ago, World War II was over and the Cold War started. People gave their lives for freedom. People, millions of people sacrificed their lives and everything they gave, everything they had, just to achieve freedom for humanity. Okay? Freedom did not come easy. People fought for the values of the Bible. Honesty, respecting the creation and the creator, family, society. That were the values that basically created the economical boom of the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s. And what happens next? You forget that all of that came because of personal sacrifice of millions of people that with devotion and faith were fighting for these ideas. And then people sacrifice, people give everything again back to false ideas of individuality, which is basically narcissism, egotism, and stupidity. Not appreciating all the hard work of the previous generations. So you get another generation that think, you know, with entitlement. I don't need to work. I just need to get it because I wanted to. I don't really want to work hard. I'm not going to give so much of myself in order to receive a career or success. And when you reach that place of complacency, someone will take your freedom. Because if you have something really precious and you're not willing to fight for it, someone will be there to take it away from you. And when you wake up, it will maybe be too late. Maybe too late. That's what happened when the Greeks came and said, everything is great, guys. We're all friends. We're all equal. You guys in Judea, why don't you join the Hellenism? We have beautiful art. We have beautiful music. We have sport and gyms. You just have to give up your stupidity of those nonsense ideas of honesty and humility and stuff like this, and you just celebrate with us. Hellenism. No values of family, no values of loyalty, no faith in one God. It's all about worshiping your lowest desires and urges. If you feel like doing it, just go on and doing it because you feel like. And what happened was, there was a fight between the Judeans, between the Maccabees, who were really saying, if you want to receive the spiritual world, you have to put the physical world in its place because everything is really spiritual. That was the basic idea of Judaism. While the Greeks were saying, there's nothing spiritual. Everything is logical, everything is body, and you live only once, and you have to enjoy as much as possible with your five senses and your body. And if you don't see it, it doesn't exist. And how come the Jews have a God that cannot be seen? They couldn't even understand what is this unseen God of the Jews. Are you crazy or something? Where is your God? How does he look like? Our God is endless energy and he has no shape. What are you talking about? So this God does not exist, and you have to believe in our gods and to worship our gods, otherwise you'll be executed. And those people realize that it's like either you die or you die. Not being able to connect to the upper realms is death. So those people went to fight for their own spiritual freedom. They achieved that huge miracle. that few people remember. We're talking about a nation that did not held to weapons for centuries. And they started the first ideological guerrilla war in history of humanity. And the few won against one of the strongest and biggest empires with one of the most powerful professional armies in the world. How did they do it? That was mind over spirit over matter. And that's why Hanukkah is all about overcoming. You want to connect to the real source of bliss, fulfillment, happiness, health, and real prosperity, you have to overcome your body. You have to overcome those low frequency desires, sexual, food, power, ego, whatever. These are the rules of the Torah. When you're willing to give up all the physical, you gain the spiritual and you also gain control over the physical. And you reach the eighth level. You reach Olam Bria and you pour and you pull from there what the power that is called a miracle. What is a miracle? Going out of the physical nature. We humans, that's our birthright. And if we don't follow it and if we do not demand it every day of our lives, we're missing the point. And that's what this month is about. Thank you so much. And have an amazing, successful, powerful spiritual month.
Rabbah.
Thank you, Shaul.